Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
Search goes on in San Francisco for the man known as the Zodiac Killer.
In New York, the search continues for the .44 caliber killer.
See if you can explain to me why I would want to be a Scientologist.
Betches Media presents...
Tell me we have a lead.
Stone Cold, no.
It was literally like the Hunger Games.
Not another true crime podcast.
What can I say? Tough titties.
It's all fun and games until someone gets hurt.
If you're into weird shit like true crime, hello and welcome to the newest podcast by Betches, not another true crime podcast. I'm Sarah Levine, editor-in-chief of Betches.com, and that's Hannah Perkins, former Betches writer and fellow true crime addict.
Hey, everyone.
And in this show, we're basically going to dive into all the sketchy shit your heart desires. And when I say that, I mean you desire learning about it, not that you want it to happen to you.
Right. Yeah, definitely. Thanks for clarifying.
You're welcome. So we're going to talk about stuff like scams, conspiracies, cults, and of course, murder.
Yeah. I mean, is it really a true crime podcast if we don't discuss murder at some point?
No. No, it is not.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So a little insight into why we decided to start this podcast. Obviously, we love true crime and we wanted a platform to talk about it. But... Yep. As you'll come to learn very, very soon, Hannah and I are not exactly investigative journalists.
Definitely not.
No, yeah, we're not trying to bring you the next serial, but we really do like talking about the facts of a case and giving background so that you can understand the full picture.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much we're just two friends talking about things that we like. So definitely not journalists. We're going to do our best to cover it all and bring you cases that you may already know and hopefully some that you don't. And we'll bring you the facts and our opinions because we pretty much always have a lot of opinions. I mean,
yeah, we're,
what can you do?
Yeah, we're pretty opinionated. I would say we have a pretty straightforward format on this, but we also just tend to kind of roll with it. But we will always make sure to give you the who, what, how, and the why if we can figure out the why. Basically, yeah. Like your middle school who, what, where, all those W's, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, pretty much.
So our aim here is to give you everything you need to know so that you will sound somewhat knowledgeable, at least, if you want to discuss this issue at parties or something. Basically, like true crime... but also funny because it's Betches.
Yeah, just true crime, but make it funny.
Exactly. And speaking of talking about true crime at parties, I, for one, think opening with who's your favorite serial killer is a great conversation starter and a surefire way to make you some new friends.
We should have people test that theory for sure. And also, we need to discuss that as friends who talk about true crime because I don't think I know yours.
Absolutely. We will do that for sure.
Yep. Okay, perfect.
We are also bringing you this podcast in two parts. Each part will drop all at once so that you can binge it.
Yep. So is there really any other way to consume true crime? I don't think so.
No, you have to binge it. Mm-hmm. Those are the rules.
Yes. We don't make the rules. We just follow them.
Exactly. So for the first part of Not Another True Crime Podcast, be prepped for some really weird, sketchy things that are going to make you want to turn to the internet, turn to Reddit, and learn more. And then for part two, get ready to lock your doors, hide your kids, hide your wife, because we're getting into the really depraved shit because people are fucked up.
Yes. Yeah, everyone's awful. And that's pretty much an underlying theme for this show slash your life. True. Everyone's life.
Yeah.
Not just yours,
Sarah. The sooner you come to terms with that, the better.
Exactly. The more you know. But yeah, so thanks for tuning in so far to season one. It's probably been like 2 minutes so far, so good. Hopefully you guys binge it all.
We haven't
love
fucked it.
It
up yet.
Yeah, we haven't fucked it up yet, but you know, jury's out. Hopefully you guys binge it all and you love it because we happen to think that we're pretty great and amazing and
insightful and thought provoking.
and modest. Yes. And very modest.
Above yeah. all, we are modest.
Yep. We should win an award for modesty. Yes. I think that, yeah. I think that kind of defeats the purpose. But anyways, we're super excited. So let's begin.
So to kick off our first episode, we're going to be discussing Billy McFarland of Fyre Festival fame. He's just a personal favorite scammer of mine. I think everyone should have a favorite scammer. Put it in like your Hinge profile.
Right. Absolutely. Definitely something that people need to know.
Yes. So Billy yeah. is now 27 years old. He's from New York. He went to, I guess, a private school called the Pingree School.
Okay.
And he's most known for being the founder and CEO of three companies. Spling? That might have been a typo. Maybe Spring. Magnesis. Yeah. And Fyre Media, which you probably all know from the Fyre Festival.
So I have a question. Like, yes. to be a scammer, do you have to fuck up all the spelling of the scams that you're making? Like, do you have to, like, make everything complicated? Like, you can't just call it something normal, you
yeah,
know?
Well, I think Fyre Festival with the Y was definitely groundbreaking. A marketing ploy. For sure, groundbreaking. Yeah. Magnesis, yeah. actually, the funny thing about that is Billy said in an interview that it's Latin for nothing. So
that's it's Billy literally for Latin for nothing. That's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. That's great. Yeah. Well, I mean, between him and like, you know, like Colts and all that, like, I feel like everyone makes up these names that sound like really obscure prescription drugs and they're like, it's real, and everyone's like, okay. So
we're referring to Nexium.
Yeah, Nexium with the V Frank and Holt. The I and the yeah,
so whatever. Weird.
Okay. Yeah,
so Billy first burst on the scene of scamming with Fyre Festival, which was, I don't have to go into huge background, I feel like we were all alive in 2017, hopefully,
but do it.
But basically, it was this huge disaster where he was advertising this luxury music festival on the Bahamas. You probably saw it on Instagram. I did. He yeah. had the likes of Kendall Jenner, Hailey Baldwin, maybe Bella Hadid.
Excuse me. Emily. It's Mrs. Bieber now. Excuse
me. Oh, okay, sorry. So they were promoting this festival on Instagram, and it was supposed to be this luxury festival on a private island in the Bahamas. With all these private villas, and it was just supposed to be lit. People get there to the island. It's barren. All they have to eat are these cold cheese sandwiches, and the lodgings are a limited amount of refugee tents that people have to fight over. Like, literally the types of dome tents you see to house refugees, yeah. that was what was on that island.
That's, like, pretty incredible, like, in the sense of, I mean, it's just incredible how that all works out. I mean, how do you go to the Bahamas and it's barren? Like, is there a part in the Bahamas that's like, there's nothing there? Like, I feel like the Bahamas is like a pretty charted out area. I don't know. I'm not an expert.
I looked into this a lot at the time because I was fascinated by it. But yeah, I think it was, they did try to rent some sort of private island that wasn't super developed. And that was
okay. So it was like a private area, like it was literally like a place for refugees, and they were like, let's host a music festival here.
No, it wasn't a place for refugees, but just the tents that they were able to get were the same types of tents that you would see, you know, if you were looking at a refugee camp. This was not one, to be clear, but if you look at those like dome tents,
yeah,
just if you Google it, you'll know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, like the cloth tents. I know what you're talking about.
It was not a good look. So
yeah, no shit.
I mean, immediately after that, Billy and also his partner in the festival, Ja Rule, were hit with a $100 million lawsuit. It was a huge media shit show. The memes
Ja Rule
were
deserved
great.
Better. Yeah, the memes were great. I mean, really, I thought Coachella was bad, like in the sense of like, I have to like sleep out in a fucking tent, and like this is really bad.
I actually like that kind of stuff, so I wouldn't be too bothered by it. Like, I camped at Bonnaroo. But whatever, maybe that's just me.
I like literally couldn't.
Okay, but what I think is really interesting is Fyre Festival is obviously a scam, and everyone kind of knew that. And Billy kind of played it like, we're so sorry, we fucked up. We just were in over our heads with planning this festival. And everyone was kind of like, okay, that sounds like it makes sense. But when they dug a little deeper, they found out that he'd been scamming for a while. So
I don't even know if that makes sense. Like, if someone was like, if they fucked you out of all that money and all that time. And like, you know, you get super pumped for festivals and you like take time off work and all that. And then, you know, you get there and it's a shithole. And he's like, I'm sorry, I'm in over my head. It's like, then cancel the festival. Dude, like,
I know.
I guess I'm not forgiving. I would be like, I don't give a fuck if you were in over your head. You know what I mean?
Yeah, people weren't super forgiving. I mean, but it seemed like at the time it could have gone either way, whether he was intentionally trying to defraud people or whether they just fucked up.
So
I'm kind of trying to work a little bit backwards in terms of Billy scamming. I've really researched it. I'm a big fan. Billy, I'm a big fan of your work if you're listening to this. So Fyre Festival was supposed to be put on by Billy's company, which was called Fyre Media. And I think the interesting part about Fyre Media that no one has really ever talked about is that the company at its core is a scam, because it was running on the assumption that the live music industry is broken and that there's quote unquote no efficient way to book live talent. I'm actually quoting this from a pitch deck that they sent us. Hopefully that's Jill. The company is now bankrupt. I don't think they're going to sue us. It's running on this assumption that there's no direct way to connect buyers or people who are looking to book an act with the act, which is, first of all, literally not true. I worked in live music, and there is an online database where talent buyers can connect with artist booking agent. It's called Pollstar. Like, everyone uses it. It's very legit.
I mean, those kids who had their super sweet 16s, they had to get, like, Nicki Minaj there somehow. I mean, there was ways that it happened.
Right. And they're sort of arguing that, let's say, I can't go out and directly book Ja Rule on an app, which was what Fyre Media, I suppose, aim to do. But the whole issue with that is,
like, on an app? Is that what you just said?
On an app.
Oh.
The whole issue with that, though, is that is
sketch?
And predicated on the idea that Ja Rule is going to be checking his app. No, he's not going to do that because he's Ja Rule. He has other stuff to do. What does he do?
Hire a booking agent.
And that's,
Ja Rule might check the app.
Okay, Ja Rule, fine. If you're booking, like, Nicki Minaj, she's not going to be checking this booking app and figuring out her schedule. So she hires a booking agent. And that's the system that the live music industry already has in place. So first of all, anyone who invested in this app, you played yourself. The idea at its core is nonsensical.
Is he trying to, like, literally connect with live talent with the person, like, having no booking agent at all? Ooh, that's a dark road. Okay. I mean, if I would have heard, if someone would have told me that, I do not work in live music, but I would have been like, that's insane of me to think that, like, I'm going to go on an app and be, like, chatting it up with, I don't know, Mariah Carey or something. And just work. Her and I are just going to text back and forth and confirm the dates of which she can perform. Like, that's not how any of that works. But
whatever. And also a fun quote from the pitch deck. So one quote says, Fyre assesses a 10% fee to buyers and does not take a commission from talent on bookings. But they also say, like, one line later with no context, we also redirect 25% of the Fyre fee, parentheses, 2.5% of booking, to talent by way of benefits. So, first of all, what the fuck? And how much money are they taking? And how does this even work?
Yeah, I'm, like, really confused about that. So they redirect 25% of the Fyre fee, which is 2.5% of the booking.
But
so
they also assess a 10% fee to buyers. I don't understand how that works.
Yeah, and then they redirect 25% of the talent by way of benefits. Like, does that mean you're not giving them that money? Like, what is?
Are you paying them, like, in free drinks? Like,
right? Like, that's like someone being like, "I'll pay you in favors." It's like, no, that's not how that works. I need, like, money. That is such a roundabout way of basically saying we're gonna keep that money and we're gonna give them, you know, benefits to make everything better. We're going to give them an Amazon gift card for $150 while we keep 2.5% of the booking.
It's possible that we're just misunderstanding this, but I mean, this thing makes no sense. One other fun quote, I think, it says combined, this is after they give the whole breakdown of the staff, and they say, combined, we've amassed decades of experience in the music and entertainment industry, founded three other companies, and I've worked at top companies, including Google, Nike, and some other stuff. Which, okay, first of all, Billy, it doesn't count if one of the other companies you founded that you're listing as a reference is your other scam company. Like, what the hell?
Yeah. And also, I would argue that working for Nike and Google, though great companies, are not music related.
That's not how it works. That's not how any of this works.
Right. And just kind of, you're just like dropping names at that point. And I mean, I think would, like,
right. Or if I try to go on The Bachelor and I'm like, one time Corinne liked my Instagram post or something random. You know what I mean? It has nothing to do.
Yeah. But there's anyway. People who are like that. Clearly, like, this Billy guy is like that. And also, like, I think it's worth saying that the reason that you and I are so fucking confused by this language is because it is literally made to be confusing.
Right.
Like, he does that, and he talks in, like, the fucking roundabout ways so people are not able to kind of fully understand. And I imagine he's probably pretty charismatic, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, I've definitely read reports. And actually, one of my friends and met him. I was looking through his Facebook, which is still active, by the way.
Wow.
Seems like an oversight, Billy.
Wow. Yeah, Billy.
And I saw that he had a mutual friend who's one of my good friends. And I immediately texted her and I was like, how did you never tell me that you're Facebook friends with Billy McFarland? And she said she used to be on the board of a nonprofit, and essentially they rode on a private jet together. I don't know the details, but all she said was he was really nice.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine he would be. And he's not, like, a horrible-looking human being. Like, I imagine if he, like, got into the room and, like, sold his pitch, like, you could kind of believe the bullcrap coming out of his mouth. But,
well, Billy. People did, but it's kind of astounding to me because, I mean, if you look at this pitch deck, if you even read what Fire Media aims to do, I would think that anyone with an ounce of common sense or just a basic understanding of how live music works would be like, dude, this is worthless. Like, if he were to go on Shark Tank, I feel like they would just rip him apart.
Dude, and like the fact that Ja Rule like bought into it just shows how little things Ja Rule is booking nowadays. Like, Ja Rule's like, I literally don't know what live music is anymore. I'm just going to
go
with this.
We love you.
I do too. I love him, Ja Rule, but I mean, for real. Like, come on, you should have known better. Ashanti couldn't have given you a heads up that that's a bad idea. Really? You guys are on tour like every year.
Well, I think it definitely is. And I mean, with other scammers too. People just get caught up in people who can talk a smooth game. And I know that Billy and Ja Rule had worked together before and they'd met a bunch of times. So I feel like they thought they were cool and like
friendly or something. Yeah.
So Fire Media was one giant scam and that was fun. But
for sure,
Billy was also scamming before that. So he had his first scam was called Magnesis. And And it was advertised as a black card for millennials, but it wasn't a credit card. It was just a regular card with a magnetic strip that you would hook up your existing credit card to. First of all, what?
Wait, what? For some reason, I didn't read that part. So it's literally a credit card to hold the information for your other credit cards?
Yes, it's like a cooler looking credit card if your actual bank issued credit card is too lame.
What?
Exactly. And like,
and how does you get away with, I mean, that's just a piece of plastic.
Yes, with the magnetic strip.
Wow. Okay.
I know. Right. I feel like I will barely hook my credit card up to my PayPal account.
Yeah, dude, I don't even do, like, automatic payments on my student loans because I'm afraid of, like, what can come off of it. And that's, I mean, granted, I don't pay with my credit card, but, I mean, I feel like your credit card, I don't know. My fiance is probably, like, this would cause him to have, like, a conniption fit because he's, like, very money-focused, and this is scary. Okay, continue. Sorry, my B.
No, it's all good. So I read that there was basically a $250 a year fee. And you, with that fee, you're supposed to get access to sold-out concerts, like Beyonce tickets and in-demand restaurants. And they had a central base that was kind of a hangout spot, sort of like Soho House, but it wasn't, I don't think, as fancy. It was like literally an apartment in the West Village.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. However, in reality, the company was just bleeding money. and they members just weren't getting what they promised. Like, you would order Beyonce tickets through Magnesis the day before they would cancel or something like that. And it was just, obviously, whoa, you can't promise people to get them stuff that the general public can't get because you probably can't get it either.
But, like, I mean, at that point, okay, so I have so many questions, and you're probably not the right person to direct them to, but I'm going to do it. So if you're paying through Magnesis with your card, like, because it's connected to, like, let's say my Chase card, if you're paying through that, do you not get the points that you normally would? Because, like, most credit card systems have a reward process in place, you know, like, I use my Chase card at a restaurant, and then I get, like, I don't know, like, 3 points, whatever. And that all adds up. And then at the end of the year, I can, you know, like, use those points to take a trip or redeem them or whatever. So if you use it through Magnesis, yeah, are you essentially stripping yourself of those actual reward points too? In, you know, instead of getting, you know, like, you're doing this and you're going to get those rewards, the Magnesis points, and you're not getting Chase anymore. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. I don't actually know, but I would imagine, yeah, that, like,
it seems okay, like that's something he would do.
For my Bank AmeriCard, I'm getting like 1% cash back, which, fine.
Right.
That's a reward.
Yeah.
But I'm not,
yeah,
getting Beyonce tickets.
No.
So I think
that, I mean,
the access, I mean, that's like to high-end things was the draw for this card.
But isn't that like, so he basically stole that from Amex, because that's like Amex's whole thing of, like, they do pre-sale and, you know, you can get a pre-sale if you're an Amex card holder, which is like half the reason, if not the only reason, I have an Amex card. But, like, I don't know. This is really,
yeah,
this,
I
is,
mean,
mess, this is messed up, man.
I have no idea. And I sort of wonder if it was intended to work as a sort of concierge service. Like, you would pay, like, let's say Beyonce sells out in a minute. You would, mm-hmm, pay Magnesis the price of a Beyonce ticket, and they would act as the go-between and get it for you. But the problem, got I think, it, was that Magnesis wasn't able to get this stuff, so they would go on StubHub, and they would pay insane resale value,
right,
and just, right, put it on the corporate card, and then they went, ugh, bankrupt.
And they or they would cancel those and then get, right, their money back.
Or if they couldn't get it, they would, them, cancel it, and people would be pissed.
The lesson here for all the listeners is that fucking check your credit card. Don't do sketchy shit with your money.
Yeah.
Like, don't, like, what? It sounds, don't get a pretty credit card. It's not worth it.
Don't get, like, a credit card that's not backed by a bank. Don't get that Russell Simmons debit card either.
No, no, right? Don't. I think so. I mean, sure. Yeah. Let's just go out and say that's who it is. But, like, I would say, like, of all the things in the world to get creative with, your credit card is not one of them. Mm-mm. Like, do not get creative with your money. It is a bad, like, I learned a lesson yesterday about getting creative with things that are not meant to be creative with. Like, I tried to get creative on my commute home, and I added 35 minutes to my time.
No.
So, lesson learned, do not get creative with things that are important.
That's why I never branch out. I go to restaurants, I order the same thing every time.
That's why, like, I, like, don't talk happen? To other people.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
I'm just a recluse.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, everyone lies, so I just don't
speaking
want to
speaking of lying, I wanted to get into how Billy did all this shit. And yeah, it essentially amounts to lying, but it's actually kind of impressive and also pathological. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, he was
sick.
High key just defrauding investors, but... So he would kind of overstate Fire Media's worth. This is going back to Fire Festival and how he got money for,
okay,
that. So he, okay, would overstate Fire Media's worth and give false statements about how much revenue they were earning and their insurance policies and their loans. But what I think is the best thing is that he literally just created fake spreadsheets to show fake investment offers. And he would falsify, jeez, reports that all these famous artists had accepted offers to play the festival. Like, he said Selena Gomez accepted a $1 million offer, and there were a couple other things like that. and he literally fucking spreadsheets.
I mean, that is why this guy is, like, on this. It's beyond, like, him lying. Like, he straight up commits fraud.
I mean, it's, like, kind of insane. Like, I have a basic knowledge of Excel. Could I be getting more money out of people?
Who knows?
Spreadsheets.
Imagine.
I'm seriously not over this. Like, this dude literally just fucking opened up Microsoft Excel, made a spreadsheet. And here's where I think it gets interesting, too, because, so, for
the
instance.
The power of spreadsheets, man.
I know. For instance, he made it seem like they'd accepted $5.4 million in offers from, like, let's say X number of artists, when really they'd accepted $275,000 from a smaller number of artists. And then when someone at his company called him out on it and was like, hey, you're really overstating the value, he added the two figures together and then sent it to investors to make it seem like it was bigger.
He's like, yeah, you're right. Hey, I'm doing this. We should definitely lie some more.
And he also fabricated documents to show that Magnesis was going to be bought by non-existent third parties to the tune of like $35 or $40 million. So, like, literally this shit was a Ponzi scheme.
Jesus. I mean, this guy, I have, like, thoughts about this Billy guy. Again,
yes,
first of all,
please share.
kind of impressed. Like, I definitely, but, like, at the same time, I mean, I feel like this is not a very smart system in general. Like, he's just lying and lying and lying. And not to sound like my mom, but, like, but, you know, lying to cover your lies, like at a certain point you can't remember your lies, or like, you know, you mess it up, or it's just like your whole world becomes, you know, fucking insane and not real. And he's also bringing down, the part that pisses me off about people like this is like, he brings down other people with his lies. You know what I mean?
Well, I would like, just like to iterate that Ja Rule is fine. He was not named in any of the lawsuits, which we'll get to in a second.
Bless.
But yeah, Bill, I mean, it's crazy. Like, obviously, when you lie like that, it's gonna catch up with you. And it sure did for Billy.
Yeah. Also, did you notice how every, like, the Fry Festival, I keep calling it Fry. I think
so
I'm just
does
like,
my dad.
I think I'm just like kind of hungry. The Fire Fest. It's 6 a.m. here and I need breakfast. So the Fire Fest, I mean, and this Magnesis thing, in his like, you know, pitches, he literally says they're aimed at millennials, which is obviously like our age group. Mm-hmm. And it makes me so upset that millennials are dumb enough to like go with this. Like, just because Kendall Jenner advertises a concert does not mean it's like a real thing. Like, have you ever bought a Kylie lip kit? Yeah. Have you ever bought a Kylie lip kit? Like, that shit is trash. Like,
I have a lot of Kylie lip kits and I actually like them a lot.
Are you kidding me? Oh my God. Mine come off like every, maybe it's
are
just like something wrong with
mine. Actually,
yeah. Like, mine
forever,
is really bad.
But that's the problem.
Mine is,
I think they're a little drying.
Really bad. Yeah. They like do not look. I have like one. I bought it for Christmas for myself one year and I was like, very instantly disappointed with how bad my lip kit was. So if Kylie Jenner happens to listen to this, send me a new lip kit. But like, stop scamming me.
Also, it's funny because I actually went on like a Bumble date with a guy who was a member of Magnesis, and he was like, yeah. And I was like,
how did that come up? Like organically? Did he whip out his Magnesis card?
What credit cards do you belong to?
First, he whipped out his black card and you were like, oh shit. Like,
I think it must have been around the time that Fyre Festival was breaking or like a big deal.
Got it.
Probably last summer. But he said, I mean, he was like, yeah, it was cool. I would go to the West Village apartment and like hang out. And I think he could sort of sense that it was like becoming a scam. Like he would get less and less for his money. And so he kind of just like backed out.
Did you go on a second date with him or were you like, this dude's kind of an idiot?
Oh, I can't remember. There might have been a second date.
Damn. Well, I mean, he's not very smart with his money, so don't marry him.
We don't talk anymore.
Okay, great. Good to know that all worked out for you.
Yeah, worked out. Oh, but people did, man. I guess the point is actually people did use that, which is nuts.
The Magnesis, yeah, that's nuts. Is that like, is it more of a New York thing? Because like in SF, there's not a hangout or anything like that. Like, was it like a New York centralized credit card?
Yeah, it was in New York and they were aiming to expand it. But they never did, to my knowledge.
Yeah, I can see a lot of people here in SF getting into that.
Yeah, I mean, because again, I think the thing too about why people scam millennials is because it's kind of all about your status or your perceived status and what you can put on Instagram to flex on your friends. And if people are like, oh, you take this card, you don't have to apply for credit. You just can hook up your existing credit to it. And, you know, you hang out in this apartment or you can get reservations at this restaurant that no one else can get into.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely all about, like, I think there's a status thing and, like, a looks thing. Granted, like, don't put your credit card on Instagram, step one. But
yeah, who does that?
I don't know. There's that one meme, like, on, it's not a meme, it's like a real Twitter post that this girl posted, and she's like, love my blue card. And,
oh, yeah.
Like, she shows her full-ass debit card, and people were like, oh, like, let me see the back. And she's like, I don't know why everyone wants to see the back. Like, that's the kind of, and she like shows them a picture. Like, that's the kind of dumb shit that people do. But yeah, I think it's like a status thing, but it makes me sad. Like, I like to think that millennials are way smarter than people give us credit for.
Yeah, like, some of us are. Some of us aren't.
Some of us aren't. So whatever. Then maybe this is case in point. But so like what ended up happening with the Fyre Festival?
Yeah, well, initially, Billy and Ja Rule were hit with a $100 million lawsuit. I don't know what really happened with that. Billy was convicted of 2 counts of wire fraud in March of 2018, but that's not all. So you would think that after you get convicted of wire fraud, you know, you lay low. Not so.
Right.
Not so for this dude. He was arrested on even more fraud-related charges in June, but this time...
Ugh.
So he was actually awaiting sentencing for defrauding investors for Fyre Media. This time he was caught because he was selling almost $100,000 worth of fake tickets to events. One of them being the Met Gala, which anyone with like half a brain or enough finger strength to Google knows.
Yeah, the whole thing that's about not the how Met Gala.
Yeah, that's the whole thing.
Did you get
about
invited?
It.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
What idiots.
I know.
Even I know that, and I'm across the country. But I love the Met Gala, so that's...
Right.
If anyone wanted to know.
So with all those charges, he was facing up to 40 years in prison. And actually, at the time, we're recording this yesterday, so this is... What day is it? This is July...
July 20... Oh, God. I can't, like, whatever. Find the... What?
We're in late
25th.
July.
It's the 25th.
Okay. So it was announced that he had to pay the SEC... $27.4 million. And the best
and
part
is... And
he's
not going to prison?
Yeah, he's not going to prison.
What white nonsense is this?
This is some bullshit.
Yes.
Like, I mean, how do people who, like, have a one-time drug offense go to prison? And then people... Imagine being this dude's lawyer, too. Like, he's on... Like, he's about to get sentenced for fraud. And then, like, he's continuing to fraud people. And you're just like, fuck, dude. Billy, like, give it a rest.
And you can't really argue, like, oh, he's a good guy. You know, he's a pillar
he's almost
in the,
like,
community. No.
Yeah. He's almost, like, sick. Like, it sounds like he's, like, he has a compulsive problem. But that's not an excuse. Billy, you still suck.
Well, I was talking to my dad about it, and he kind of said... that he knows sort of, you know, a lot of people who they have all these big ideas and they'll go like, let's say 90% of the way to make it happen. But then they won't go the final 10% of the way to actually execute the event.
Right.
You know,
right,
in the example of Fyre Festival, because they think it's like for losers or whatever. This is just my dad's personal theory.
No, I can see that. I mean, I get with that, like... The idea is, like, in conception, you know, they're getting it going and, like, they don't, like, cross all their T's and dot all their I's because it's, like, well, it's already in process, you know? Like, my fiancé's dad is kind of like that. Like, he has, like, all these crazy, sometimes good, sometimes crazy ideas. And, like, he'll talk to me and Cameron about it and then we're, like, but you have to think about this, this, and this. And you have to think about... you know, what happens here and what happens with this. And he's like, well, no, we don't need to think about that right now. And it's like, but you do.
Eventually, like, yeah. Especially with, like, event planning, people don't realize the amount of minutiae that goes into event planning.
Totally.
I mean, I was even just having, like, a birthday party at a bar. And my friend is like, well, are you allowed to bring food? Are you allowed to bring a cake? Are you allowed to have your own playlist? And I'm like, whoa, I never would have thought of that shit. I would have just showed up.
dude, I mean, we're planning a wedding, and like the amount of things in it, like that you have to like go through, and like the venues and like what permits they have, and you know, like what happens if this happens, and like you just sign a bunch of contracts, and like there's all these little things that they charge you for because like wedding people are fucking crazy. And it's, yeah, I don't know how we like, we just went off, but I do think that like him not going to prison after all of that is like the most honest form of like privilege.
Oh,
like,
absolutely. It's
I've ever seen
white privilege in action. He scammed so many people out of like thousands of dollars.
Yeah. He made international headlines with his scams.
Yeah. And it's kind of nuts. I mean, on the one hand, I don't know where he's going to get $27.4 million.
Right.
I hope not another scam.
I'm sure it will be. Like, I mean, that's the thing is like, he's not good for this money. So send him to jail. Like,
right. I wonder if that's what will happen. I don't know how this works.
Well, stay tuned, everyone. We'll keep you updated.
Yeah. So that's, oh, Billy.
That's the
I think that
festival,
he should be
man.
Your wedding planner.
Yeah, you know, he's worked with a lot of big name companies like Google and Nike. So I mean, he's definitely qualified.
And
so
he's founded three companies.
I think if there's anything to learn from this, the big takeaway is the power of spreadsheets, man. Like Excel, yeah. No one fucks with Excel docs. Like if you put an Excel doc in front of me and it has numbers, I'm like, this dude, he knows what he's doing.
If you color code so, it, die.
Yeah, I mean, if you have like functions in there, like I'm done for.
Like, I mean, the other element to Fire Festival that like we should have talked about in Fire Festival, but my bad, is that there's this sort of music festival bubble. Like I go to a lot of music festivals. I'm like semi into this scene. I feel like I feel qualified to speak on this. So
absolutely.
There's kind of like a bubble. There's a lot of music festival. There's just, they're cropping up everywhere. Like first year, second year. And you don't, there's kind of no way to know until you get there, like how legit it's going to be. I mean, if it's backed by a big company like AEG or Golden Voice, then you know, they're not going to like strand you on an island.
Yeah.
But if you're going to like a small, what purports itself as like a new independent festival.
Yeah.
I can see how you would, and especially if like Kendall Jenner is promoting on our Instagram and you see like all these Instagram meme companies also pushing it, you know, you can think like, oh, okay, this is legit. They're promoting it. This is going to be really fun.
Yeah. But I mean, like, I think that, I mean, I go to a decent amount of music festivals. Like I've gone to like some of the bigger ones and I'll make my way eventually to like Bonnaroo and the Gov Ball and things like that.
Oh my God, let's
go
together.
I'm down. I'm so down. Look at, we just made plans via podcasting. Yes. So, I mean, I think that there's like, for one I went to Bottle Rock, which is here in Napa Valley. And it's like, my fiance and I both went to the first years, or he went to the first years and I went to like one later. But the first year he like knew the organizer of the festival. And here's the thing is festivals in their first couple years are not moneymakers. Like,
right.
Because they have to build a reputation to become a moneymaker. So they have to get all these vendors. They have to get all the talent. They have to get this. And so the first year of Bottle Rock was like, at least according to what I heard, like very deep in the red. Right. But it was so cool and like they balled out and the people who went like loved it and had a great time. They brought their friends the next year. And then Bottle Rock, you know, became, it's now like a thing that like a lot of people in Northern California go to. Like it sells out and it's a really, really cool festival. If you ever are in Napa and want to go to a festival, Bottle Rock is dope. They have like cooking shows and wine tasting. It's really, really fun.
That's fun.
It's really sweet. But like this guy, like this to him was like a money making scheme for him. The fact that there was no lineups confirmed is also something that I would be very sketched about.
Well, no one knew that too. And I wonder if that was sort of the beauty of why he went for a music festival, because people don't really question a music festival. And also anytime you go to like a live music event, it's understood that acts can pull out at any time and you're not entitled to refund.
Right, right, right. Yeah.
So I wonder if that was why he didn't just cancel it before it started, because I don't know. You know, I can't, like, I'm obviously can't read his mind, but.
I'm going to guess that no one was given a refund. Do you know?
That no one got a refund?
Yeah.
So it's really great. this is so great.
Oh,
because
no.
When all this news first broke, they emailed all the ticket holders, I guess, and they were like, you guys can either get a refund, or if you choose to forego the refund, we will upgrade you to super VIP for next year's Fire Festival. And this is 100%
true. People like,
go
fuck yourself.
Seriously, if you are going to fall for two Fire Festival scams,
yeah, then you
deserve
this.
And I have a bridge to sell you.
Congratulations, you played yourself.
Yeah, for real. That's like the fool me once, fool me twice kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's fucking hilarious. The audacity of Billy. I mean, yeah. Really. Dang. Well, I hope everyone got their refund. And
I know, you should. If you did.
Because Firefest 2 is not coming around. Yeah.
Oh, God. If you did go to Fire Festival, if you bought tickets, DM us on Instagram. It's not another true crime pod.
Yeah.
And tell us
your
story.
We'll give all the details. We'll give all the details for ways to contact us.
Yes.
At, like, the end of our spiel. But, like, if you went to Fire Festival, or even if you were a Magnesis card holder, I want to know. Like, I want to know your thought process. And I'm not judging you. Like, I don't think you're an idiot. Like, I think this is like things that happen. Like, people, this is why people scheme, is because people fall into schemes. Like, it just is what it is. But I want to know, like, what was your experience? So I mean, you do too, Sarah. You're like obsessed with this kind of stuff.
I know, I'm
you
such
love
a psycho.
Scams.
I know. I love scams because honestly, like, I'm super naive, and I like it never really occurs to me to lie. So I never really think that other people are lying. I know, it's bad. Well, so I've almost fallen for scams before. Like, I guess I must have put my resume out. This is back when I was either about to graduate college or had just graduated, and I thought I wanted to work in TV. And so I guess I put out my resume to a bunch of places. I get an email back that's like, hi, I forget who directed The Notebook, but it was like, purporting to be this guy, and it's like, I'm gonna have this internship and I want you to work for me and blah blah blah. And like, also buried in that email was like implications of check fraud, you know, when someone sends you a check for $2,000 and they're like, oh, I sent you $1,800 too much, can you wire it back to me? And I saw this and I was like, oh my god, what? And then I forwarded it to my parents, and they were like, honey, no. Like, this is
a scam. your dad, the lawyer, was like, Sarah, pump the brakes.
My dad, like, the man with common sense, was like, this email is riddled with typos. It's really embarrassing.
Yeah. If it wasn't for Cameron, who has been like, we've been together 5.5 years. So he's been with me, like, when I worked at Bitches with you, which was like, what, 5 years ago? And then, oh yeah, like, Sarah and I worked together, for people who are listening, but that way back in the Dizzy. But yeah, like, without him, like, being like, no, Hannah, don't do that, or, you know, like, he has to go with me. I sound like really dependent, but I'm really like, I was never taught much about money. And like, there's a lot of things in adulthood I don't think that you're taught. Like, I was never taught how to go and negotiate for a car. So when I was buying my car, it's so easy for them to talk you into things that you're like, I don't know, you know, like, sure, I guess. And he had to be like, no, don't agree to that. Like,
especially,
that means
I'd imagine, as a woman. I remember one time I went to get an oil change, and they were like, and I was expecting it to be like, I don't know, $20. Like, I don't know how much shit costs. And I go there, or maybe I had like a coupon for a free oil change.
It's a banana, Michael. What could it cost? $10?
Right? And then they were like, okay, you should get this oil that's specifically formulated for your car. And I was like, okay, sure. Come out with a bill. It's like $150. And I was too embarrassed to say anything. So I just paid it and like cried internally.
Hang your head in shame. Yeah. I definitely think it's easier. Not that all these people who are frauded by Billy were women, but I think women are more susceptible in some ways to being frauded, because a lot, I feel like society has, wow, this podcast has gone all sorts of ways, but we have been like, society has taught us to basically like suppress our questions in a lot of ways.
Oh, absolutely.
And like, and not question, you know, especially things like cars and money and like traditionally like man dominated areas, even like medicine sometimes, you know, like we're told not to question our doctors, or, you know, doctors tell us like how we're feeling and we're just like, okay, I guess so. And it, like, that's, it's definitely like a girl thing. And I've had Cameron help, and like, he's kind of helped me navigate, but now I'm just like, fuck you. I'm going to Google the shit out of all of this. Yeah. And if you're wrong, like, I'm going to call you out on it. So yeah. Oh, well, we went down a rabbit hole. So
we
that's
really
fine.
Did.
It's okay.
It's fine. Should we play some games?
Let's do it.
All right. Today we're playing Would You Rather Fire Festival okay. Edition.
All right.
All right. I'll go. Should I go with the first question?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. Would you rather fly to Fire Festival only to realize it's a deserted island, or cancel your ticket to Fire Festival only to find out that it's the sickest party of the millennium and you missed it?
I think I would rather, I think I'd rather cancel my ticket than, and find, like, my FOMO is not that intense to where, like, I would be like, huge bummer. But I think that if I flew to the deserted island, I would be like, A, scared. I would be like, where the fuck am I? How do I get home? All this stuff. And B, I would be embarrassed, you know, because, like, you tell people, like, I'm going to the Fire Festival, and people are like, dope. And then you get there, and it's, like, a nationwide scam, and you're like, shit. So I think I would cancel my ticket. What would you do?
Well, I'm, like, inclined to say that. I also don't have, like, strong FOMO. Like, I don't know. You know, I'm just like, okay, whatever. If I miss it, I don't care. I got to sleep, and that's important to me.
Exactly. Exactly.
However,
for real.
The thing is, though, like, I will do almost anything for the story value. And to be able to say that you were on the ground at Fire Festival is like, holy shit, you can't get better story value than that.
Yeah. I mean, that's true. I mean, I guess whether it's deserted or it's dope, like, you were there for like an iconic thing. So.
Exactly. I was a part of history.
Something crazy. All right. Next question I can ask you. Would you rather party with Gigi or Bella Hadid? Which one?
Okay. Well, the reason that this is Fire Festival related is because I'm pretty sure they both advertised it. Could be wrong.
They did. Yeah. No, I'm pretty sure they did.
I think Bella is a bit more of like a dark horse kind of wild card. I think that she'd be more fun.
I think so, too. I think she'd be a blast. I've heard Gigi's really, really smart, though.
Huh.
And she's also friends with all the Queer Eye guys. And I want to be friends with them so badly. So I don't know. I guess I'd probably go with Gigi just because. Yeah, I hope she brings tan France. That's, and Gigi's cool too. And would you rather party with Kendall Jenner or Hailey Baldwin? This is an easy one for me, but I want
to
hear
so
yours.
To me, actually, I feel like this is hard because they're both like kind of boring, and I don't know a whole lot about either
no
of their personalities.
No way. I think Hailey Baldwin's kind of fun.
Okay,
from
I was
everything
actually
I see.
Gonna argue the opposite because I feel like she's engaged to Justin Bieber in his Jesus phase, so I feel like she might be like a Jesus freak, and I don't want someone judging me when I'm trying to like beer bong.
She's a Baldwin though, dude. Like, can she really like judge a lot of people? Like, her family has like gone up and down for sure, and I feel like she, I don't know, I feel like she probably is fun and like has a good sense. I follow her on Twitter, and she has like a good sense of humor. And yeah, but I do agree. Justin is in he's in a full-fledged Jesus moment right now.
Yeah, it's, you know what, good for him. At least he's not peeing in, like, what was he doing, like,
you know,
peeing
what?
In buckets or whatever? Like, at least he's not doing that anymore.
You know what, man? I am not the person. Like, there's plenty of times I should probably find Jesus, so it's fine.
Okay, yeah. Final question. Would you rather get stuck on a deserted island for a week with Ja Rule, or only eat cold cheese on white bread for a month?
I would rather get stuck on an island for a week with Ja Rule, for
honestly,
sure.
Honestly, same. I didn't even think about it. Okay, that was too easy. What if you had to be stuck on the island with Billy?
For a week?
Let's just say both are a month to make it really difficult.
I would eat only cold cheese on white bread. I could do it for a week, but, like, I think being around anyone for a month straight on a deserted island would make me insane.
Oh, God,
insane.
But the cold cheese. Did you see those sandwiches? Ugh.
Yeah, they were really bad. And I, like, don't particularly like cold cheese or, I mean, I like cheese, but, like, cold. It was like cold American
yeah,
cheese.
Yeah, it was like a slice of so white gross. American. Like, just kill me now. Yeah,
so gross. So it was like the whitest thing I've ever seen. You could tell a white person put together that festival. He was like, here, give him some white bread and some American cheese.
And it was supposed to be gourmet chefs. And it was good the Lord. Opposite.
Oh, Billy.
I know. For the record, I would hang out with Ja Rule anywhere for a month straight. Like, it could be in a cave. I wouldn't care.
Ja Rule, if he ever listens to this, I would love to have Ja Rule on the show talk about how this happened. I would die. So hopefully he's listening. And thank you, everyone, for listening to another episode of Not Another True Crime Podcast. Wow, that really is a tongue twister. I feel like it went pretty well, though. Sarah, wouldn't you agree?
Yes, so well.
So well. So if you agree or if you don't, whatever, be sure to follow us on social media. We're on Twitter and the gram at NATC Pod.
And you can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/NATC Podcast. I tried to make it NATC Pod for consistency, but it was taken by some girl named Natasha, which is rude.
Super rude. How dare she? Natasha, you're on our shit list. But anyways, follow us if you have any questions, thoughts, stories, any experiences from the Fyre Festival, which we really want to hear those if you actually win. And if you're Ja Rule or if you just want to chat, shoot us an email at natc@betches.com.
Yeah, it's like bitches, but with an E. Get it right.
And that is fully directed at me because even though I worked there, I still mispronounce it almost every time I say it. So yeah, definitely directed at me.
Kind of, yeah. And don't forget to subscribe and like the podcast on whatever streaming site you're listening to it on right now. Thanks for listening to this episode of Not Another True Crime Podcast. And remember, if you like weird shit, you know where to find us.
Betches.